Praise the Lord. God is faithful. Usually you go to a church and nowadays you use an iPad when you're preaching. My brother swiped my iPad and going to kill him. Praise the Lord, man. Don't ever close your eyes and your brother staying in your gaff. God is faithful. You'll have me emotional late now, but God is good, you know. Look, a lot of people here being very good to me. I wouldn't be the person I am without people intervening in my life, but you have to be open to the intervening people in your life to become a person that can intervene in others. Amen. Yes, what a word this morning as well, that woman. God bless you. Right, get into the scriptures. Luke 15. I'm going into it, right? Talk to me about the prodigal son. There's a bit in it, but it's worth it, you know. Dropping everything. The reality here is, there's two scriptures going in before that, and I'll go into that. I'm going to just share a bit of my testimony through this and some of it. You know, it's good to laugh, guys, you know, because you'll be crying in a few minutes. But it's good to laugh this morning as well. God has a sense of humour. You know, he intervened in my life. He definitely has a sense of humour. Lord, I just pray this morning, the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. I pray for every single person in this room, whether they think they know you or not, Lord. I just pray for the touch, the encounter, the experience of knowing you, Lord. There's nothing like being a people that's something called hope, Lord. And even in a situation we think we're hopeless, or the world has called us hopeless, Lord, you're the God of the person that's hopeless. You're God of the person that looks for mercy, Lord. You turn up. Lord, I love you, Lord. We exalt you. Bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the parable of the lost son, right? This is the words in Luke, you know, it's a gospel. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. All right. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. You know, a lot of us in here can probably relate to wild living, you know. We grew up in Finglas, a real quiet estate over in the north side, and there was nothing wild about it. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. And he began to be in need. Guys, who's been in need in this room? Hands up. Guys, you know the Lord, and sometimes I'm still in need. You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to finish. You know, you still have needs. You express them all the time. I have a kid over, and one of my uncles is in France at the moment. I got an opportunity to send him over cheap because he wants to learn the language. You know, he's in France. Man, was it difficult to get the money for him to go. But then he's looking at you with the puppy dog eyes. You're saying, son, we'll sort it out. God provides. You know, someone came in, provided for it. My other son couldn't be here this morning. He has a grading going on in kickboxing. You know, he's only 10. You know, but you play the game with your young brother that's 10, isn't he? He's doing kickboxing, but you give him a nail slap just to let him know it can still take you. It can still take you, son. But, you know, with kids, and God's like that with us sometimes. You know, he's showing me, I says, "What have you to do tomorrow?" He says, "I have to do a spin and back fist, you know." And I says, "Show us it." And he does this. And as he turns his back on you, nearly had to slap in the head on about 6 times. You're saying, "Jane, you have it to a T, don't you? Have it to a C, you know?" Huh? I could have sat down and had a cup of coffee and all and stood back up. But that's the Lord, man. Sometimes, man, we think we have it to a T and we don't. But he always encourages, keep going. Go and do that. Go and prove yourself. Go and enjoy yourself today, son. Go and enjoy yourself today, man. Guys, enjoy yourselves today. We're talking about two brothers here that one ended up hating his brother. Instead of saying, go and enjoy yourself, man. I'll be praying for you, man. My brother took me iPad. I'll kill him. I know. Praise the Lord. Wow, he was in need. He went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He was probably Jewish and then he was feeding pigs, which is, you know, a no-go for them people. He ended up in the lowest place of the lowest place. Unbelievable. When you actually read between the lines. Okay, so he ended up feeding the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods, the food that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, guys, come to our senses this morning, please. He said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here am I starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son. threw his arms around him, kissed him. Well, that's the father's love. Isn't it? I'm a dad. Two kids, I love them to bits. My wife is from Africa. My wife is from Burkina Faso. She's black, I'm white. I have two milk chocolate kids. Now, I remember people saying to me, you can't marry her because she's black. I had a guy from America say that to me, and I couldn't believe it, you know. He said, why do you want to marry her? I said, I'm in love, man. Couldn't find a board in Ireland. You know? I'm in love, and that's love. And, you know, I come from a dysfunctional family. My father walked out when I was 7. Two of my brothers died when I was very young. And the world will say, you're going to end up dysfunctional because your dysfunctional family is dysfunctional, you're dysfunctional. And they put it on you. Whoop! There you go. No way, man. Married 15 years this Christmas. You know what I mean? But that's God. We're not called to be, you know, and I had to learn what a father was because I never got the input of someone that was a father because my dad had an alcoholic problem after my brother died. But God shows the fatherless how to be a father and brings the orphan to orphans like this morning. Amazing, isn't it? God, don't give up. Don't give up, me Lord. Don't give up, me Lord. Don't give up, me Lord. Give me the chance. Give me the opportunity to do something. You know, the father runs to the son. The son messed up. He should have been embarrassed, you know what I mean? And he was. But I love the way the son reacts. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against your heaven and against you. No longer worthy to be called your son. He could have just let it all go. The son said, I have the dad wrapped around my finger. But he knew he had to go through something called asking for forgiveness and repentance. It's amazing, isn't it? That's just so important in that. Because we make mistakes. I still make mistakes. I'm a teacher in the school up there. I still make mistakes. Kids love me in the school. I love my job. I love teaching. I'm dyslexic. Who cares? Do you know what I mean? Huh? Didn't I make it to the interview? I was actually walking to the job before I done the interview. I went to college. I just finished a degree last year, a master's in DCU. You know? Praise the Lord. I got honours. You know, after I got my honours, I let go of your man's hair. I says, thanks. But in God, when God has a plan for your life, he provides, gives you a favour, organises the situation. I got my qualification last year for the job. I have 8 years. Don't tell me that favour is not favour when it's in God. Oh, you can't do that. People say you can't do it. They haven't got the qualification. Okay. Praise the Lord. I have a better relationship with all the kids up there than some of the people that have a qualification before me. Because it's called contact and it's called being real and it's called caring. That's who you want around your kids. Someone that can talk to talk and understand them because they understand me. More kids understand me than adults. You know? God's ways are not our ways. The father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. The thing is, he would say, get the fat cow, clad a ring, pair the flip-flops, let's sort the sun out. You know? Where's me nightgown? He accepted the son back. He accepted him back to his state of royalty. Robe in them times was a sign of distinction. People forget that. The son had messed up, failed, squandered everything, but the father says, here's the robe, son. Let's go again. Let's go again. I pray for people this morning, it's the let's go again day. Let's go again day. Put the robe back on, you know. And the funny thing in God, you know, we don't get the robe that we say is going to fit me and it's cut to my size. We have to get cut to size to fit the robe that God gives us. You have to be tailored, not the robe. You have to change things, not the robe. You have to sort things out in your life, not the robe. The robe is there waiting for you to fit into it. That doesn't mean you're going out to McDonald's after this and say, man, I need to put on a bit of timber. I mean, sort yourself out, get your life together, be real. You know? This is me. I'm not Noel Kenny. I'm not John O'Hoyle. This is me. My job that I was called to do was as a teacher in the church. The call of God on my life was to go to Africa as a missionary. And I have to follow up them and be me, and I can't be anyone else. Find out who you are and get around people that will help you reach your potential. Because doors will be locked by people around you because they say you can't go through that door. Sometimes you have to break the door down. That's the reality. Amen. Amen. look how the older son, you know, reacts. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What was going on?" "Oh, your brother has come," he replied. The servant was probably delighted. "Your brother's come. There's a party going on." You know? Wow. How he reacts is unbelievable. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your properties with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Amen. Situation I had in Africa. One of my best friends over there, he was from Ghana, and his mom died. I had to go to a funeral in the north of Ghana. And I was living in Togo on the coast at the time. I was in between Togo, Burkina Faso, the two countries where I ministered. And when I was in Togo, I'd done a degree in theology. And I couldn't spell that before I went, but anyway, still working on it. But I got my degree, and it was amazing. God's great. But I was asked to go up to Ghana to speak at this funeral. And it's one of the poorest countries in the world, Togo. I think Burkina Faso was rated as the third poorest country in the world. And to get there, I was a missionary sent out by the church, so we had very little funding, but you had enough to get through. So I got a bus. I went down to the bus station to get a bus to the north of the country, and then I was going to travel across the border. So the bus station was like probably what you call a scrapyard here. Right? So I went down, and I had to buy me ticket, and I was waiting for the bus. And there was loads of people kept coming to wait for the bus, you know, and there was loads of different buses. But a high ace van was going out bringing people out, and I said, "I hope I'm not in one, something like that." You know, you start praying, "Lord, give me a real bus. Don't give me a bus that looks like that. That thing will pass the NCT, you know what I mean? Not a hope. You know, you're assessing everything. "Lord, no, don't put me in that thing." And I go to the driver, said, "What's the story? What time is the bus coming at?" He says, "It'll be here in a minute, brother." So I says, "Grand, not a problem." Went over, sat down, drank a bit more of my water. About an hour later, I said, "What's the story with him? Where'd he buy his watch?" You know what I mean? Went over, said, "What's the story with the bus?" He says, "It'll be here in a minute, brother." I says, "You said that a minute ago." He says, "It'll be here in a minute, brother. I'll look after you." Sat back down, super, not a problem. Another hour goes by. And I said, "What's the story?" I had to go back to him. "What's the story with the bus? Is the bus coming?" You know, and I'm looking around this. He's talking to me, he's talking to someone else. "We'll be here in a minute." 6 hours later. Right? One of the times I was waiting 9 hours for the bus. Right? 6 hours later. He says, "Are you ready, brother?" I said, "Wait a minute." He says, "Oh." So this high ace van comes around, and it's in bits. You know, the crack in the window and all this, you know. Like an advertisement for Spider-Man with the web on the windscreen. I was saying, "Are you serious?" And there was about 22 people there. And I says, "I wonder when, or maybe I'll get the next bus." He says, "I'll get the next bus." They're not all getting on that, but everyone got on that bus. And the bus was bigger from the roof up than from the roof down, where everything they put on top of it. There was a few people on it. They tied the goat on the roof and everything. I was saying, "Lord, you have a sense of humor. I'm going all the way up to the north, over 600 kilometers in this thing, you know." And this was unbelievable. The man says, "I'll look after you." So he put me in the front seat, you know. There was a woman sitting in beside me. And she was a bit bigger than me, right? So she was kind of high ace fans, had three seats in the front. So she was sitting partially on my seat and partially on the driver's, right? So I'm trying to get the door closed beside me, you know. Woo! You know, like, I'm not a big guy, you know, but I'm athletic. But so she finally gets the door closed. I said, "See, have you got far to go?" She says, "I'm only going up the road." She was going about 200 kilometers up the road. So I fell asleep, and I woke up eventually, and I thought it was a miracle I had hair, but she had her arm back. My head was in her armpit. So, uh-oh, there's that. I have to get the arm chewed off me, all the mosquitoes. She says, "I closed the window. I'm like this closed the window. There's no glass in the door." God has a sense of humor. Says, "You man, you're winding me up." But eventually I got up to the north, and I had to go across the border. So they'd sorted me out. The church, the national church had sorted me out with a Honda 50. And I had a suit on. I had a black suit on. By the time I got across the border on the Honda 50 with me mate on the back, right, I was about 18 stone. Right? We didn't wear out the front tyre, that's for sure. Like that going up there. Praise the Lord. My suit was grey when I arrived, and I says to me, mate, what's the story? He says, I'm up here for the funeral. I says, that's had been the trip from hell. He says, I've booked you into a hotel. Oh, me mate, love your brother. He was my best man at my wedding. He had to wear the kilt, and he's from Ghana. So this black guy with a kilt on. The old journalists were taking pictures of him at my wedding, and I said, there's a guy wearing a dress down there at the church. But I went to the hotel. He brought me to the hotel, and I says, what's the name of this place? It's the Paradise Inn. I says, this is paradise. I wouldn't like to see hell, I says the bloke. And there was a drought. Baku is the name of the place in the north, Baku. And there was a drought in the area. And there was actually a tribal war going on at the time in one of the other villages. And I was invited to the other village. And I was talking to a man on the phone. He says, there's had to be a bit of a war going on. And I says, I couldn't get you on the phone. He says, yeah. He says, one of the tribes, he says, there's two leaders kind of in the area, two chiefs. And one of the chiefs, they're had to cut off the other guy's head, you know. And he says, well, he says, when are you coming over? I says, I have to go to funeral. Not me own. I don't think I can make it this time, you know. You're right in the head. But that was normal in the area of Akpame or something that was in the place in Ghana. But I remember walking into the lobby, this hotel, and the smell, because there was a drought. And this is disgusting, man. This guy thinks this is a joke. No one would preach a funeral. This is a hotel. And there was an American guy all dressed up in the lobby. And he was having a bit of an argument with the manager, you know, in the reception. So I was saying, I wonder what's going on. I was walking in, boy, you know, me new grey suit on. Sweating bullets. And the American guy says to me, hey, he says, I can't communicate with this guy. And I was saying in my head, if you can't communicate with your accent, he's not going to understand a word I say. I'm from Finglas. You know what I mean? That's my tribe. And the man says, what do you call the guy that carries your bags to your room? And I says, yourself. And I got my key and I walked off and went down to my room, you know. I says, praise the Lord, man. And I says, I left him standing, felt cool, you know, opening the door to my room. It was one of these cylinder locks, you know, like in the hall door, little round ones, and opening the door, and the key snaps in the lock. So I had to go back, you know, the old man having an argument with the American, going, I says, hey, mother breaking the key, the lock of my door. You know, I'm not a big guy or anything, you know what I mean? I says, you don't know my own strength or something, you know? And I says, no problem, brother, no problem. He says, wow, that's a great reaction. Your man's nice. In the reception, we went back down. He takes a spoon out of his pocket, right? And he puts it in around the door, pops the lock, opens the door, right? I look at him saying, wow. He says, you didn't live in Finglas or anything. That doesn't matter. I says, it doesn't matter. He says, you'd make a living over there. You'd make a living. Then he hands me the spoon and says, here, don't lose that. I put the spoon in me pocket. He says, all right, man. Didn't even think, baby. You know, for 2 days, one round with a spoon in me pocket. Don't forget me spoon going out. You know? It's amazing, isn't it? God's amazing. You know, I went into the place and I had the bed, kind of. I went in, there was these two rooms. There was no door, you know. One was the jacks and one was the shower. And I went into one, there was a hole in the ground. And then I went down, I went into the other one. And a hole in the ground, and I says, which is the shower and which is the jacks? Right? I says, wow, amazing. Guys, sometimes in life, for myself, we have a load of luggage with us in our lives. And when I come to know the Lord, now Kenny led me to Jesus Christ probably 20 years ago. It was like going to the reception in that hotel. I got to meet Paradise Inn. And we have to get to a place where we stop looking for the bellboy. Because you have to get to a place where you become the bellboy. I had enough rubbish in my life. My dad left when I was 7 and my parents had their marriage annulled, you know, separated. And I wasn't even allowed to do languages in school because I was a tick. That's what they called you. And all these things were going on in your life, and you had all this luggage built up, and then you get into trouble in the neighborhood because you're a bogey. That's the way they classified you.
And they would let their kids hang around with you because you're the bad kid, because your dad's an alcoholic. Until your brothers are dead. Before you become the bad kid, you're American. He's the bad kid. And then you fall into that role of people speaking into your life. And you lock yourself into the room, you know, that there's no getting out of. And you can't get a job. And school, they kicked me out of school at 15. And had to go to ANCO, which was the old fuss and all that. A few people are like, wow, he's older than I thought. He ended up in the room, got in trouble, had to go to France, joined the army, joined the French Foreign Legion, became a soldier, tried to kill people. Learned the language. School caught me a tick, I could learn it in the army. Hated wearing the uniform. School never wore it, man. There's no one there to get you up because my ma was out walking, but I was bringing the police to the door, you know, I used to hang around with the Gardaí the weekends. Learned how to drive in a robbed car, you know. You went out, you know, with windscreen wiper up, a mini. Cars used to open them with that. But God has a plan and a purpose for your life still. And it's about meeting someone that says, God has the plan and the purpose for your life. And you can be around the brother that says, why should he have any changes in his life? He squandered his life. He messed up. He ran away. And I remember even coming back and was in trouble with a gang over here, and I had to go down with Noel and try and sort her out. Noel was scared, man. You know, we went to meet these people in town. And I got it all sorted. Went to college. Got a degree. Ended up in Africa. People believed in me to go to West Africa and plant a church. I worked with Muslims, 80 Muslims, kept an out of the Lord in the area. And started a church. Met my wife. Her father's a minister, 3,000 in the church. She sees a guy from fingers covered in tattoos from a broken home and sees a guy that's fixed. And trust him enough to marry his daughter. Whereas other people in the world all their life were saying, you'll be a nobody. You've nothing over you. You won't make it. Whereas, we had to lay it all down and say, I'm not looking for the bellboy anymore to carry me dross. I came to know the Lord, and within 6 months, Noel had me walking in the youth club in Dalton's Barn. I moved to the flats. I lived with them for a while, and then I got a flat myself. And I remember the first time going down and opening up the youth club, there was another guy supposed to be with me. He had a lot of experience. He never turned up. There's me a lot of experience, all right. Well, I get him. Didn't know what to do with 60 kids crying, you know. When you're opening up the club, we couldn't even fit them all in. Don't it anyway. I remember people telling me, here, see that kid there, write the name down. Don't let him in. He's a bogey. Don't let him in. He's a bogey. Sure. Most of the kids weren't going to be coming in. I got that piece of paper, all names, and I was coming up and throwing it out. So I've been called a bogey. My name was on a list for years. And that's not the way God works. God's a plan and a purpose. Because if you think that the door, you can't get in, and you're looking at a broken key for the last couple of years, snap out of it. When you go to the Psalms, it talks about Jesus Christ being with you. You know what I mean? And in the Psalms, it even talks about the situation with God, that he'll help you run through a barricade and scale a wall. And when that door is locked, and I know it's not of God for it to be locked, because it's a psychological thing in my own head, I had to take the door open. And use your spiritual spoon or whatever you have in your life, guys, to get your door open. And then start helping people with their luggage and their baggage and saving, whether it's in the church, your neighborhood, your community, I don't want to stay in the reception all my life. I want to go out and save the community. Who wants to go on holidays and stay in the hotel? But when you make it out of the reception, you get to your door and the door is open. Make your way into that room that's there for you. Get away from the prodigal son brother in your life that says, no, he shouldn't have, he shouldn't have, he shouldn't have. You're not good enough. You're not able. You're not capable. I'm not. I'm dyslexic. I'm dysfunctional. I'm from this. I'm from that. But you know what? That's me past. It's gone. The verb is in the past. I want the verb in the present and the future activated into my life today and move on into it. And we all need to get to that place. I'm not looking back, but looking forward. Quick story as I'm coming to an end. I haven't got long. When I was in the Foreign Legion, I remember getting me kit. That meant getting your combat clothes, underwear, your shaving foam, all your stuff. And you marked your name on it. It was yours, you know, as a soldier. And I was so excited, you know. I remember marking my name on my kit. And you had to look after that. One of the shorts, you had to iron in about 15 creases. It was a parade short, you know. And it was amazing. And I remember when we were going through basic training, some people's stuff was starting to go missing. Someone wasn't washing his gear, but he was robbing everyone else's stuff. And I remember being out in the corridor and there was a commotion broke out in one of the rooms. We went down to see what was going on, being nosy. I was with a guy from Canada that was over there, and a well guy. And we went down, we were looking in, and there was a guy in his underwear. And I was saying, Shaney, Lothel, what's he doing? And on the back of it had Yillenum written on the back of his underwear. And I says, that's not his name. He's out there robbing Yillenum's underwear. And then I copped on Yillenum was Minnelli backwards. They were mine. So I went from laughing about, hey, well, Yillenum finds out the copping. And me mate saying, yeah, who's Yillenum? Then I said, oh, kill him, he's got me jocks on. That bloke. He's out there robbing me clothes. I remember, you know, a few people trying to get at him because they'd have to find all these clothes in his locker that weren't belong to him. And he had to go at me with a hoover. He was trying to get at me with a hoover, swinging the hoover at me, you know. You know, trying to catch me up in a vacuum or something. He's trying to suck me in. I said, you're dicing with that now. Go and get me May Henry. Got me stuff back. He was made, put a pair of underwear in his mouth and run around the square. The foreign ladies, that's the way it was. Mad it was. You know, it was the early 90s. That's the way they treated you. Break you down to build you up, break you down to build you up, break you down to build you up. Well, he was a number. Sans quatre vingt deux, trois cent cinquante quatre. But it was a number. You know, it was mad. Had me clothes that fitted. But sometimes you get around people, and even within the church and in life, and you know what? They're not meant to wear your clothes. And you're not meant to wear their clothes. And I'm telling you, when it's my turn to go on and be with the Lord, I hope it's a celebration. And when we want to be the Lord, I hope people are saying, remember him, he was just like such and such. I don't want to be just like anybody else. I just want to be like Terry Munley. I want to be the guy with my fingers that was classified, but broke the classification. Went out, served the Lord, done what God called him to be. Yeah, some people don't like your sense of humour. I don't care, that's me. Get used to it. I don't like your cooking. Do you know what I mean? We can all look at, I don't, man. It's all over. If you look at the two parables before the one we just read this morning, there's a guy loses his sheep, and in the scripture it says he went after the sheep. And then the next one, some woman loses a few coins, and she goes searching the house for the coins. And then we look at the prodigal son, and he left the house. The father didn't go after him, because he knew the way back. I'm telling you now this morning, you know where the reception is. You know where God is. You know that he's for real. We can all sit and look at the luggage, and we can stand here this morning and say, why did me dad walk out when I was 7 and say, in court? You know, it doesn't matter if I don't see them. I was the oldest. Why did David and Alan die? I don't know. Why did me mom develop cancer before I got married? She's still alive. We go to the wires, and we stare at the suitcase that has our name on a tag. And you know what, guys? We have to move on. We have to quit the reception and go out and start functioning in what you're called to be, in a positive attitude of who you are in Jesus Christ in your life. In your God, you can run through a barricade. In your God, you can scale a wall. In your God, you can overcome dysfunctional. In your God, you can overcome dyslexic. In your God, you can overcome the nobody. In your God, you can overcome the hopeless. In your God, you can overcome the merciless. In your God, you can overcome the overcomer that devastates your life, speaking dross into your life, like the brother of the prodigal son. It's over, guys. It's over today. I tell you today, put on the robe. Get the ring, get back in the groove, and get walking with Jesus Christ. I'll hand you back to Noah. Amen.
Amen. That was, this is an inspirational morning, yeah. Let's just wrap her up. The prodigal son came home. And maybe you're here this morning, you need to come home to God. It's not come home to a church. It's not come home to an organization. It's to come home to a father who gave his son so that we could actually come home. And that's between you and God. Only you can make that decision with God. And also, it's a morning where we've heard, no matter what's being said into our lives, over our lives, that we can push beyond that and be who God created us to be. I met a man this week who works for the Dublin City Council, and he's 74 years of age, and he says, they keep trying to put me out to retirement, I'm not going, he says. I says, Frank, why? I've never met him before. He says, because in my head and all, I keep thinking, if I buy into it, it's over. And if anyone has listened to me over the last while, one of the things I've been saying about people that are on in the other scale of life, in 70s or whatever age, and I'm like, guys, there's something that God has for you. That's not over till God says it's over. And it's finding that purpose and that plan and that hope that God has for us, because he says he has a plan for us. And my response and your response that only God needs is to say, all right, God, I'll commit myself or submit myself to your plan for my life. And that could be going to teach kids on a Sunday or on a Clogger Road, or going to Africa, or going down the road to Finglas, or coming up to Dalton's Bar to help impact teenagers, and are going into the lighthouse every Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday and feeding and clothing 100 homeless people that need some type of infection. Turning up on a Tuesday to help out with senior citizens, going in and starting a new club somewhere, starting a football, impacting lives. Who knows what it is? But if we say yes to God, he'll open the doors. So could we just bow our heads as we finish and been so blessed in this small little space of time that we had for service. So it's been jam-packed with absolute life. And Jesus, I just read it this morning, John 4. Jesus says to a woman at the well, he says, about drinking natural water, and he says, you'll thirst again after drinking that water. But he says, I'm going to give you living water. Oh, wow, just afresh this morning, I said, Jesus, I'm so thirsty for some living water. What does even living water feel and look like? And maybe that's just our prayer today, is Jesus, can I have some of your living water? Your water that will bring me alive. Your water that will cleanse me from all things. Your water that will bring strength. Your water that will be my sustenance. Your water that will bring healing. Your water that will bring future. Your water that brings hope. And I just want to say yes to that. I just want to say yes to that, Jesus. And if that's your prayer, you can just say it the same. You don't have to say it out. You can say it in your heart. He knows how to interpret your heartbeat because he created you. So we thank you for this morning, Father. Thank you for all the things, all the words, all the affirmation, all the inspiration, Lord God, that was given through so many people this morning, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Could you stand as we just pray our final blessing?